call in alphabetical order so that the record reflects who is participating today. When I say your name, please indicate that you are present. Commissioner Barry? Commissioner Chavez?
Mondoux calling you.
Here.
Commissioner Einhorn? Commissioner Fusashi?
Here.
Commissioner Hankins?
Here.
Commissioner Streeter?
Here.
Commissioner Winkler?
Here.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan. Thank you. This meeting is open to the public and is being conducted solely through the use of electronic equipment due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It will be recorded in its entirety. For everyone participating in today's meeting, please remember to identify yourself first for the recording each time you are called upon to speak. All participants are expected to conduct themselves in a respectful manner at all times and not interrupt the commission deliberations. If the commission believes any person's conduct is disruptive, that person will be placed on mute at the direction of the chairman. Further disruption may lead to that person's removal from the telephonic meeting. When the commission conducts a vote, it will be by roll call. I will conduct the roll. The first item is consideration of the minutes of the commission's regular meeting.
Queen McKenzie.
We have a lot of interference. Is somebody talking in the background? Somebody's talking in the background. There's a lot of interference. Who is that? Okay. The first item is consideration of the minutes of the commission's regular meeting, December 15th, 2021. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter here. I'd like to move adoption of the commission's minutes of the regular meeting of December 15th, 2021.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye when I call your name on the roll. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
Commissioner Winkler?
I abstain.
Okay, thank you. And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, yes. So it passes unanimous, or it passes with one abstention. I'm going to ask, there's somebody talking in the background. Could you please mute your phone?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I don't believe that the incarcerated individuals who are on a phone have the ability to mute.
Well, I do, but it's not my phone.
Okay.
No, it's not our phone.
All right.
I apologize about that, Commissioner.
Sorry about that.
It sounds like it's your phone, so I appreciate it. Okay. Well, it is distracting, so I'm going to ask again. Somebody is talking in the background on their phone. Could they please put their phone on mute? Thank you. All right. So I'm going to call the docket. If you are a party and wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when I call it, and we will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in the order that they are called. I know we have one matter that's been marked off. That's Ethan Book versus Christopher Rosario, and so that matter will be marked over to another meeting. But I'll start with docket number FIC 2020-0316, Terrence Burton versus James Ravella, Chief State of Connecticut Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection et al. Is there anyone there on that matter?
Yes, Mr. Burton here, sir.
Okay. Would you like that marked ready, Mr. Burton?
Yes, I would.
Okay, we'll mark that ready, Mr. Burton. Is there anyone here for the state of Connecticut? Okay. Thank you.
Sir, excuse me, if I may, I received some, I believe, last week that said this meeting was going to take place on the 17th. So I'm kind of like throwing off myself. That's probably why the other party is not even here.
You received notice that this meeting, that this hearing on your matter would take place on the 17th?
Yes.
That doesn't make sense because we don't meet. I don't think we meet on the 17th. So it's a Monday.
I don't have it on me right now. Like I said, I was caught off guard, but did receive some.
Maybe you mistook the 12th for the 2 for a 7.
Okay. So,
but it's marked ready, and you'll be heard. Okay. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0359, Christopher Shand versus Angel Quiros, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Is anybody there on that matter?
Christopher Shand is here, sir.
Okay. That was dismissed for failure to prosecute. Do you wish to be heard?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. We'll mark it ready. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0393, Ian Wright versus Chairman, State of Connecticut, State Marshal Commission. Is there anyone there on that matter?
Yeah, Ian Wright is here.
Okay,
Attorney
we'll mark
Tom Souza for the State Marshal Commission.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
It's Attorney Thomas Souza from the Connecticut State Marshal Commission.
Thank you, Attorney Souza. I'll mark that ready, Mr. Wright and Attorney Souza.
Okay. Thank you.
Next is docket number FIC 2020-0443, Ian Wright and Angel versus Angel Quiros, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Mr. Wright, do you wish to be heard on that matter as well?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, is there anyone here for the State of Connecticut on that matter?
Yes, this is Attorney McCurdy.
Okay. Thank you, Attorney McCurdy. Thank you, Mr. Wright. Next is FIC 2019-0551, Jennifer Holm and David Marcados versus Director of Inland Wetlands and Watercourses, Town of New Canaan, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes, Amy Suchins, attorney for Jennifer Holm and David Marcados in both 0551 and 0671.
Okay. And your last name again is?
Suchins, S-O-U-C-H-U-N-S.
Thank you, Attorney Suchins. Next, we have FIC 2019-0671, Jennifer Holm and David Marcados versus Town Planner, Town of New Canaan, et al. I know that you're here. You'd like that marked ready, Attorney Suchins, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, also, yes, Mr. Chairman, Nicholas Bamonte on behalf of the respondents in both matters.
Thank you, Attorney Bamonte. Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0053, Karen Bossy versus Commissioner, Connecticut Department of Economic Community Development and Connecticut Department of Economic Community Development. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This is James Cayley, Assistant Attorney General on behalf of DECD.
Thanks, Attorney Cayley. Would you like that marked ready?
I have no objection to the hearing officer's report.
Is there anyone here for Karen Bossy?
Mr. Chairman, it's Colleen Murphy. The complainant indicated that she would not be attending.
Oh, thank you, Attorney Murphy. All right, I understand the motion.
Just I have a quick question on that. This is Commissioner Fusashi. Is this the same case as Mark Claire Howard versus State of Connecticut?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. In the introductory paragraph, Commissioner, it explains that substitution. So going forward, the case will be Claire Howard versus Commissioner.
So we will vote on it entitled Karen Bossy or Claire Howard?
Claire Howard.
So that would be different than the agenda. Is that correct?
Yes, because the report explains what the change will be. The change isn't effective until you vote for it.
Okay. Thank you very much for clarifying.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Great. All in favor, I'll take a roll call vote. All in favor, please say yes or aye. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is docket number FIC 2020-0119, Companions and Homemakers, Inc. versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Social Services, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? Is there anyone here, Companions and Homemakers? Is there anyone here from the State of Connecticut, Department of Social Services?
Yes, Melanie Dillon. I'm the attorney for the Department of Social Services.
Would you like to be heard on this matter, or would you like us to rule on it?
You can rule on it. My understanding is that the attorney for Companions and Homemakers had represented that he had no objections.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter here. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
The motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi? Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes, yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, counsel. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0120, Companions and Homemakers Incorporated versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Social Services, et al. And this is a dismissal. Is there anyone here on this matter?
Commissioner Attorney Melanie Dillon for the Department of Social Services.
Thank you. Is there anyone here from Companions and Homemakers? Hearing done, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, assuming that the respondent has no objection, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Fusashi?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Next is docket number FIC 2020-0242, Doug Lieb versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Are you there, Mr. Lieb? Is there anyone there for the State of Connecticut on this matter?
Yes, this is Attorney Lepore for the Department of Correction.
Would you like to be heard?
No, I would just urge adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Thank you. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter here. No objection from the respondent. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi? Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
Commissioner Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is Meredith Braxton versus Chief, docket number 2020-0309, Meredith Braxton versus Chief Police Department, Town of Greenwich, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Attorney Meredith Braxton is here.
Okay.
Abby Wadler for the respondent.
Would you both like this marked ready?
Yes, please. This is Abby Wadler.
Yes, this is Meredith Braxton.
All right, we'll mark that ready. Next, is docket number FIC 2020-0464, Michael Bracken, Jr. versus Christopher Kervick, First Selectman, Town of Windsor Locks, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Michael Shelton Bracken, Jr. is here, Mr. Chairman.
Would you like to be heard?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone here?
Attorney Carl Andolina, representing the respondents, is here as well.
Attorney Andolina?
Landolina.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next is docket number FIC.
Yes,
sir. Yes. We're going to mark that ready. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0030, Steve Guidetti versus Superintendent of Schools, East Hartford Public Schools, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Hi, this is Danielle McGee, the hearing officer. Before a motion's made on the report, I did have a small amendment I wanted to propose.
Okay.
Ms. McGee, can I say, Ms. McGee, this is, I'm sorry to interrupt. I was on mute. My name is Michael Carey. I'm here representing the respondents.
Do you wish to be heard?
I'd like the hearing officer's report to be adopted, but I will have to hear the amendment first.
All right, we'll mark that ready. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0179, Jessica Carter versus President, Manchester 8th Utilities District, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? This was a failure to prosecute. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, as you mentioned, the complainant failed to appear. This was dismissed. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuseschi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. The last matter that's been marked over is docket number FIC 2020-0241, Ethan Book versus Christopher Rosario, State Representative, State of Connecticut, General Assembly, et al. And that's been marked off, and it will go over to another date. All right. Let's just see here. So we will, before we consider the cases that we've marked ready, I will ask the Executive Director and General Counsel, Colleen Murphy, to make some general announcements, please.
Sure. As has been indicated, this proceeding is being recorded in its entirety, and it will be available very soon after the meeting on our website. If you should need access to it some other way, feel free to contact the commission. And second, pursuant to our regulations, oral argument is 10 minutes per side, and I'll keep track of that for the parties.
Thank you. All right. So we'll begin with the first matter that's been marked ready, which is docket number FIC 2020-0316, Terrence Burton versus James Ravella, Chief, State of Connecticut, Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection, et al. Are you there, Mr. Burton?
Yes, I'm here, sir.
Okay. Is there anybody there from the State of Connecticut? All right. Mr. Burton, you have the floor.
With that, I don't even think I need to say anything. I think I would just like to have the hearing officer report adopted.
You'd like it adopted?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'd entertain a motion. Hello?
Commissioner Hankins, you're muted. There you go. Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry. Yeah, Commissioner Egan, this is Commissioner Hankins. I
thank
would
you.
request that this matter be adopted.
This is Commissioner Chavez.
This matter be adopted.
Commissioner Chavez, I second that.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion?
It's Commissioner Hankins. I noticed that in paragraph one of the award, it states that the respondent shall be provided a copy of the complaint. A copy of the request record without charge. But I note in paragraph four that the complainant did pay the $16, so it seems like he's due the $16 back.
If I may, Terrence Burton, I believe that the I'm sorry, I don't have the documents in front of me right now. Like I said, I was caught off guard with the meeting for today. But if I'm not mistaken, the hearing officer did state that I should have my $16 given back to me.
Mr. Chairman, it's Colleen Murphy. I believe the hearing officer is on the line. She may wish to speak to that.
Okay. Can we hear from the hearing officer?
Yes, it's Paula Perlman. I was the hearing officer in this matter. The $16 fee is it's either for you're paying $16 for a search and being told that there isn't a record, or it's $16 actually for a copy of the report. I don't think we can ask for, I'm not sure about asking for a refund. It is a statutory a fee that they're allowed, they're permitted to charge. Honestly, I'm not even quite sure the report is ready. They said that they're working on a report. I don't know if there is a report even available. I don't know if you have other thoughts, Attorney Murphy.
This is Commissioner Hankins. Yeah, it's Commissioner Hankins. So I guess really it's a sunk cost. The $16 is basically a sunk cost. It's gone. I don't think the complainant would be charged any additional money then, correct?
He would not be charged any additional, but that's my recommendation, that he would not be charged anything in addition to what he's already paid.
And I think that's what the report says in point one of the at the end of the report.
Excuse me, Terrence Burton, if I may. Like a week after the hearing, I received a letter from the Internal Affairs Unit who told me that the case was actually going to be they was waiting on the judge to sign off on a warrant. And then maybe 3 weeks ago now, or maybe a month ago now, a state trooper came to talk to me and asked me to do another report. So I don't know what they doing, but they been coming to me and telling me one thing and then another thing.
I'm not aware of anything that's taken place after the hearing. I know that at the time of the hearing, the attorney, who was the only witness, she said that there were working on, and they were still investigating the matter and compiling something. So I don't know what the status of it is at this point. Of that, I don't know what the status is of the investigation. She really did not have much testimony. And that's why I felt like once the report is ready, that Mr. Burton should be provided with that report free of charge. I don't know where it stands. The respondents didn't submit anything after the hearing. This is the first I'm hearing of anything that was conveyed to Mr. Burton, to the complainant.
Mr. Burton, I was going to send it to the commission. I actually just got over the COVID. So with that being said, I was actually quarantined. So quarantine here is a little harder to converse with you guys. so I didn't get a chance to send it out. But, again, I didn't know that today was the hearing, or I would have had that right now in front of me so I can read the dates off and exactly what was said to me.
I would just like to say, regardless of whether the complainant had an opportunity to submit that in, at this point, I would still reach the same conclusion that the respondents failed to prove that that the report was exempt from disclosure and that they should give it to him.
Any further discussion?
No.
Commissioner Hankins, anything further?
No, thank you.
Okay. So the motion's been made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All right, with that, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
Commissioner Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Burton.
Thank you. Well, have a good day.
Next is docket number FIC 2020-0359, Christopher Shand versus Angel Quiros, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Christopher Shand, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And is there anyone there for the State of Connecticut?
Yes, this is Attorney Lepore.
Thank you, Attorney Lepore. So this was dismissed for a failure to prosecute. Christopher Shand, would you like to begin, please?
Yes, sir. I understand the procedure and the process of the situation regarding the documents that I was requesting, but it wasn't my fault. That's the reason why I wrote the three letters and asking, can they reopen the case back? Because due to the pandemic, I was in the medical infirmary. And I did not have no clothes, no property, and they refused to give me my property where I could have some type of footwear to put on because they did not want me to go with slippers. And due to the fact that I did not want to put my feet inside someone else's shoes that he was just wearing, which is unhygienic, they refused to allow me to go to that meeting. And at the same time, I was on a hunger strike. So that was a form of retaliation on their behalf that they was doing to me. Because I really wanted to go to that hearing because I really needed those preservation or the documents that I was requesting, because I've been requesting these for the past 2.5 years now.
Great. Attorney Lepore?
Yes, and I submitted an opposition to Mr. Shand's request to open the hearing. I believe that was received December 1st of 2021, where I outlined specifically the almost minute-to-minute what had occurred prior to that hearing and the efforts that were made to allow Mr. Shand to participate in the hearing. The department certainly did not retaliate against him. It did everything it could. In fact, even given the public health pandemic that we're in and emergency staffing, to provide him with the opportunity, and I'd be happy to go through it. It is already documented. I believe the commissioner should have a copy of it. But as to the issue of the footwear specifically, I will just reiterate that Mr. Shand was provided by Lieutenant Pearson with a pair of shoes that were his size. He had claimed that the pair of shoes that he had with him were not his size. Lieutenant Pearson went and got a brand new pair of shoes in a size 10 for him from our property room and offered those to him. Mr. Shand wanted to select the pair of shoes himself. At this point in time, it was about 9:35 a.m. The hearing was scheduled to begin at 9:30. Mr. Shand had the option to either wear the footwear that was being offered to him, a pair of sneakers, or lock up in his cell. And he chose to secure in his cell, according to Lieutenant Pearson. And I'm happy to answer any questions that the commissioners may have on this.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, it seems like this is a records case that nothing precludes him from making a similar request in the future. Is that correct? I guess Attorney Perlman.
Attorney Perlman?
Yes, I just had to turn the camera back on. You are correct. Mr. Shan is not precluded from making the same request.
All right, thank you.
Any further discussion or questions for?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, based on the hearing officer's answer to me, I will move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second it.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll call a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeci?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
Commissioner Winkler?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is FIC 2020-0393, Ian Wright versus Chairman, State of Connecticut, State Marshal Commission et al. Are you there, Mr. Wright?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. And are you there, Attorney Counsel?
Yes, it's Attorney Thomas Souza.
Souza. Thank you, Attorney Souza. Would you like to begin, Attorney Souza?
Certainly. So the State Marshal Commission received Mr. Wright's request for a copy of the Connecticut State Marshal Manual, which consists of 281 pages. At that time, we contacted Anthony Campanelli at the Connecticut Department of Corrections, and Mr. Campanelli had responded to us that Mr. Wright was, in fact, not indigent. So at that time, we denied the request, or we informed Mr. Wright that he would have to pay for the copies. Subsequently, Mr. Wright obtained verification that he is, in fact, now indigent or became indigent after the request or after we got the verification from DOC. So the State Marshal Commission used to have a staff of 5 full-time state employees. We're down to 1 right now. It was myself. And this past Monday, we actually was able to hire a new individual. So on Monday morning, I had our new employee copy the 281-page manual and hand carry it down to Wethersfield and deliver it to Mr. Campanelli. So to try to comply with the request. So it was delivered, and I have an email from Mr. Campanelli that he received it on Monday, this past Monday, January 10th, 2022.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, may I?
Mr. Wright? Yep.
Okay. So when I sent out the request to the respondent, I attached a copy of my inmate trust fund account, which specifically showed that I was indigent. They knew all along when the first request was made that I was indigent. I don't know who he claimed to have spoken to or when he spoken to them, but he knew that. Even this is supposed to be, if I'm not mistaken, a failure to prosecute because the respondent didn't even show up for the hearing. And they've been known that they were supposed to, I was indigent and at least they were supposed to send me the documents. And now they come to here saying that they just sent in a document. They clearly violated the Freedom of Information Act because as of today, I haven't received a single page of document. So I move for a full recommendation or adoption of the hearing officer's recommendation and also for sanctions. As I put in my complaint, asking for sanctions and in the appeal for sanctions.
Okay. Well, it looks like they've already complied with the order before having the order acted upon by this commission, and they've actually provided a copy of the record requested to I guess a supervisor in charge of where you're located. So I think you're fine with an order entering requiring that to be complied with since they've already complied.
Mr. Chairman, they haven't complied. I haven't received any documents.
they've delivered. It sounds like they've delivered them to a supervisor in of your facility. And let me just clarify that, counsel. Is that correct?
That's correct, Commissioner. Anthony Campanelli, he's the counselor, supervisor, / FOI administrator for the Connecticut Department of Corrections in Wethersfield. I don't know, you know, where other individuals are necessarily, or the requester is located, but that's where we, our policy is that, A, we verify any claims of indigency with the DOC FOI administrator, and then that's where we deliver the document to. And my understanding is that anything that we provide has to be inspected before it's forwarded on to to an inmate, but I don't know. That's just what we were told to do here.
May I?
Understood. Yes, sir.
So let me see if I understand this. So now, when the initial request was made, they knew that I was indigent because I provided them with a copy of my inmate trust fund account that specifically stated that I was indigent and didn't have any money to pay for the copy. They did not send me any documents. Then there was I filed an appeal to the commission. A hearing was held. They did not show up for the hearing. Still didn't get no documents. And here we are today, like I believe a year and a half later, and I still haven't gotten no documents. So if this doesn't prove that they are clearly in violation of the act, I don't know what is. Because he's saying now that they sent Campanelli or whoever they gave a document. We don't know that. I haven't received any documents. And if they had given me the documents a year ago like they were supposed to, we would not be here today.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter?
Yes,
if I may.
Go ahead.
I see nothing in the record that says that anything has been provided to the DOC, Officer Campanelli. The hearing, it looks like the order is to provide a, copy free of charge. I mean, I a lot of times in records cases, especially regarding indigency, obviously if there's a number of pages, but this person is requesting a public document that's the, commission manual. For them to be counting pages and, say they have to make copies, this is something that I've always felt that should be provided anyway, regardless of their indigency. This isn't, asking for specific records. This is asking for a commission manual. This is a state document. This should be something that's found on the website. But I see nothing in the hearing officer's report that says that, to back up the respondent's claim that they've tried to provide this to the complainant. So I would, I mean, obviously whatever the commission decides, but I feel that this should be one of those things that we should pass as the hearing officer's report and make them provide this to the complainant.
Okay, does anyone else wish to be heard?
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Chavez. I have a question for counsel for the State Marshal Commission. I believe, sir, you made reference to the conclusion drawn that Mr. Wright was indigent. On what basis did you draw that conclusion, given that Mr. Wright says that he submitted documentation showing that his account was below the $5 threshold?
The initial request, it almost sounds like the commission's integrity is being questioned here. I did deliver it. I had someone drive it down there and make the copies on Monday. I can forward an email verification that they were received by the individual at DOC this past Monday. I had an email. I have an email chain from Mr. Campanelli saying that he was not, in fact, indigent at the time we received the request back in 2020, I believe it is. I'm looking at it right now. So I can certainly forward those emails along if the veracity of my statement is being questioned.
Sir, I was asking something a little bit different, but I believe you've answered it, that the information on which you were relying, that this requester was indigent, came from Mr. Campanelli, from an email from him?
That's correct, Commissioner, yes.
And I believe Attorney Perlman is here. Attorney Perlman, did Mr. Campanelli testify at the hearing? Or I know that in paragraph 3, you indicated that the respondents did not believe that he was indigent. Do you recall what information that was based on?
The only individual who testified at the hearing was Mr. Wright. No one appeared on behalf of the State Marshal Commission. I was not contacted after the hearing by anyone from the State Marshal Commission. So what my findings and conclusions are based on the testimony that Mr. Wright provided, as well as the documentation that was provided and marked as exhibits. My understanding is that there was a previous case that Mr. Wright had against the State Marshal Commission, where it was claimed that he was not indigent, and he himself asked us to take administrative notice of it. And I think subsequent to that case coming out, he made another request looking at what their indigency standard was, and based on that, he was in fact indigent. So I don't know if two requests are being conflated here by the State Marshal Commission, but what I can say is that no one appeared on their behalf at the hearing. I was not contacted by anyone asking to provide additional testimony or any evidence or to reopen the hearing. And so I based my findings and conclusions on what was before me, and that's what Mr. Wright provided to me in his testimony and also by the the exhibits that were marked.
Thank you, Attorney Perlman.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else who has any questions or comments? Any other commissioners?
Mr. Chairman, just one quick thing. Mr. Wright had made claim that he had asked for civil penalties, but there's nothing in the hearing officer's report regarding that. Not that typically it would have to be something considerable for us to consider, but I'm just asking the hearing officer, in his initial complaint, did he ask for civil penalties?
He did, and his request was noted in paragraph 4 of the findings, and then I subsequently addressed it in paragraph 14. So although I did find that they violated the act, I didn't think it rose to the, in my opinion, it didn't rise to the extent that I would recommend imposing a civil penalty.
Thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, I actually have a follow-up question. This is Commissioner Chavez. Attorney Perlman, is the fact that the State Marshal Commission did not appear for the hearing, does that factor into the consideration of the civil penalty at all?
Yes, in terms of me reaching that. So even though they didn't appear, I still felt that it didn't raise to the level of imposing a civil penalty.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll just note that counsel has indicated that he has delivered those documents, Mr. Wright, to your facility. So you should be looking to receive those from the facility. The commission did not have an obligation to deliver those until after this body renders a decision. This is the recommended decision that Attorney Perlman put before us. So in advance of that, he's already given those documents to the appropriate party, he indicated. So you should be looking to receive those from them. But I'm guessing that we're going to vote on this shortly, and I'm guessing that we're going to approve the hearing officer's report or adopt the hearing officer's report. Okay?
Okay.
All right. I'd entertain a motion.
May I ask a question, Mr. Chairman, real quick?
Sure.
Okay. So in regards to the penalty, isn't the penalty was specifically put in the act for situations similar to this where a party has violated the act?
If Well, I mean, if it gives rise to a civil penalty, this body will take note of that and then decide accordingly. But the hearing officer indicated that this did not warrant a civil penalty, and I agree.
Okay.
So, all right. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I'll move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Is there a second?
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
Commissioner Winkler?
Yes.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, yes. So thank you both very much. Have a great day.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So next we have Ian Wright. Did Ian Wright hang up?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, good. All right. So we have FIC 2020-0443, Ian Wright versus Angel Quiros, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Are you there, Attorney McCurdy?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Wright, this was dismissed. They say they don't have the records. So Would you like to begin, please?
Yeah, so they're saying they don't have the record, but I've specifically seen them with my own eyes making the record. So I have a civil litigation pending regards to this. So, I mean, I'm just following the process, to make sure I dot all the I's and cross all the T's. So if it's the chair's recommendation that they, I mean, if they say they don't have it, they don't have it. So, I mean, you guys, I guess, got to go with the recommendation of the FOI hearing officer. And I just want to make sure I follow the complete process in acquiring these documents.
Okay. All right. Attorney McCurdy?
Yes, thank you. I urge adoption of the hearing officer's report. As the report states, there was credible testimony given that a thorough search for records was conducted and no responsive records were located. I hear Mr. Wright saying that he saw a record be created, but C.S. Campanelli testified that the search for records did turn up a record regarding the complainant's refusal of meals from the relevant time period in 2020. But it was not created by a correctional officer assigned to FPOD, which is what his request was for. It was a very specific request. Therefore, that record was not responsive. It was provided to the complainant nonetheless, and it was submitted as an exhibit and as part of the record. But the hearing officer who heard the testimony found it to be credible that a search was conducted and no responsive records were found. And I urge that report be adapted. Thank you.
May I just for a second?
No, hold on a second. Do any of the commissioners have anything, any questions? Okay, Mr. Wright, go ahead.
Yeah, so I asked specifically for any and all logbook entries that was created in FPOD at the time, and the Department of Correction or the respondents know exactly that I'm asking for the logbook entries which bears my name in regards to a hunger strike. So they're saying they didn't have any documents, but I specifically seen the officers put it in the logbook. So like I said, I'm just going through the process to exhaust whatever I got to exhaust, you know what I'm saying? So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Do any of the commissioners have any questions after Mr. Wright's comments? Okay. Then I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I'll second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll call a roll of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
Commissioner Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, counsel. Thank you, Mr. Wright.
Thank you.
Next is FIC 2019-0551, Jennifer Holm and David Marquetos versus Director of Inland Wetlands and Watercourses, Town of New Canaan, et al. Is Jennifer Holm there, please?
This is Attorney Amy Suchins for Jennifer Holm and David Marquetos.
Thank you. And is there anyone there for the Inland Wetlands and Watercourses Director?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Nicholas Bamonti on behalf of all of the respondents.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Chairman, this is Attorney Harmon. I was the hearing officer in this case. And before we hear from the parties, I have one small correction, if I may, in paragraph 13. It's not substantive. It's just a correction. So in the sentence, in the third line of that paragraph, it says, request issued to Director Holland within 30 days of the July 2nd, 2019. I think I'm missing a word following July 2nd, 2019, and the word I'm missing is email. So if we could, I would recommend that we just add the word email after that July 2nd, 2019 date in that third sentence. Thank you.
And that's paragraph 13?
Paragraph 13, line 3, after July 2nd, 2019, I need the word email to follow that date.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do we have a motion regarding that amendment?
Well, Mr. Chair, it sounds like a Scribner's error. I'll move adoption of move that we amend for the request of the hearing officer.
Commissioner Winkler, I'll second that.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there discussion? With regard to the amendment, I'll take a roll call. Commissioner, of those in favor, please. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Commissioner Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. The amendment passes unanimously. All right, so is there anything further? Does the hearing officer have anything further, or is that it?
Nope, that was it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. All right, so would Attorney Suchins like to begin, please?
Yes, I had also filed a request that this matter, 0551, be argued with the subsequent matter, 0671. 0671 relates to some of the same issues that are in 0551, and so I believe it would be efficient for both the commission and both counsel for the commission to be able to hear both of those together.
Counsel, do you agree?
I do, Mr. Chairman. No objection on this end. The request that's the subject of 671 is already one of the requests within 551. So I agree that consolidation, for the sake of today's argument, makes sense.
Thank you. I'd entertain a motion to consolidate.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I'll move that we consolidate the two dockets.
Commissioner Winkler, second.
Okay. With regard to the motion to consolidate, all those in favor, please say aye. I'll call a roll call. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
Commissioner Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. Matters are consolidated. All right, so, counsel, would you like to begin? Counsel Suchins?
Yes, thank you very much. And just as a, there is some construction taking place outside my office window, so if anybody has any trouble hearing me, please feel free to interrupt as needed. But with respect to the proposed final decision, we have two issues that with which we disagree, the hearing officer's conclusion. Number one, with respect to the adequacy and timeliness of the response. We feel that the record demonstrates that the town did not provide the requisite responses for Commissioners Greslecki, Papp, and Goodwin in a timely fashion. The town started, what the record reflects is that the town started some of the search, but with respect to those commissioners and undertaking searches of their personal emails, it did not begin for, by the town's own documents, nearly 2 months after the initial request was made. With respect to Mr. Goodwin, it was actually several months after that before the search was begun, and nearly 6 months later before any of the documents were provided. We provided a post-hearing supplemental brief to the commission, as well as the hearing post-hearing brief to the hearing officer. The specific dates are of the timeliness issue are included in those references, as I noted, including testimony from the respondents' own individuals. And then with respect to Chairman Goodwin and his personal email, and this is the subject of both 0551 and then the 0671 matter, what we disagree with in the hearing officer's conclusion sort of most directly is that the search that was conducted with respect to the employer-based email that Mr. Goodwin used for New Canaan land use business was in fact the search that we had requested. The obviously you have a copy of the requests that were made. My client's request for documents included all communications. It was not just emails. It was not limited in any fashion to those types of electronic communications. We had requested emails, instant messages, text messages, voicemails, anything to that effect, not just emails. And so with respect to the Morgan Stanley communications kept on Mr. Goodwin's Morgan Stanley email, the response that we were given during the course of the hearing was from a representative of Morgan Stanley, Jeremy Weiner, and it was his exhibit in a written letter that provided the information about the emails that were searched. That letter, which is included in the record, demonstrates that the search that was conducted was not in accordance with the documents that we requested. There was a response that showed that the various email addresses were searched, but there were our request reflected individual names, and there is nothing in the response from Mr. Weiner addressing the process that was conducted in consultation with the town attorney's office in attempting to respond to our request, and therefore we don't believe that the search that was conducted in response for the documents kept on Mr. Goodwin's, in essence, private work computer was, in fact, done correctly with respect to our request. There, one example is that there was an individual named Bob Prince that was requested in our request. His name is not listed or referenced in the Jeremy Weiner letter. We don't know whether that meant there were no emails or whether he was never searched. And certainly there was findings in the hearing officer's decision that talked about the fact that there were other email addresses provided. Attorney Bloom from Mr. Bamonte's office was one where he had a slightly different email address. But it remains the fact that while email addresses may have been provided, there's nothing in the record that documents that there were discrepancies between what was searched and what our request was. So with that, Mr. Goodwin testified, John Goodwin himself testified that he was not involved in the process of obtaining any of these emails. He wasn't familiar with how the search was done. He had been sort of completely disconnected from the process, so he was not able to testify during the course of the proceeding, anything about that. Mr. Weiner was not presented by the town for cross-examination or questions about the scope of his letter, and so there's nothing in the record that would resolve the various discrepancies between the request and the production. And so, you know, specifically with respect to the hearing officer's decision, there is a, in docket number 0551, it's paragraph 44, paragraph 31 in 0671, where this final search that was conducted by Morgan Stanley, she concludes that all responsive records related to Mr. Goodwin have been provided to the complainant, and that is based upon the fact that all of the email addresses that Mr. Goodwin had used had been searched. But that's only part of the fact that his email address had been, or various email addresses had been searched, does not necessarily lead to the conclusion that all of the recipients of the emails were searched. And so we don't know from what's in the record to verify that our search was done and all documents, if there were voicemails that were retained, et cetera, with respect to the use of the Morgan Stanley system for public business. Similarly, Mr. Goodwin's testimony during the hearing was that he had searched his personal computer and had no responsive documents. In fact, the search that was produced by the town indicated that we had located at least one email from Mr. Goodwin using his personal email address. So we don't we have no confidence that his search, when his testimony under oath was that he searched and had no responsive documents, but the town itself found at least one responsive document because he had forwarded personal email to his town email address, and that's how we were able to find that. So we do believe there are questions about the adequacy of the search that was conducted of his personal address. The fact that this is relevant, or why it's relevant, is because obviously the the nature of the public business was conducted, we believe, and certainly based on the production that was made from Morgan Stanley, over 1,300 documents were provided. So there's been a substantial amount of public business that has occurred outside of the town of New Canaan's town issued email address to Mr. Goodwin, and the various cases that the commission is aware of certainly document the fact that simple use of private or home computers, employer computer, et cetera, the choice of a commission member to utilize those systems opens them up to forensic examination. They are subject to FOIA. And so what we've requested and would ask for the commission to address as part of its proposed final decision would be one specific item, which is to remand the matter to the hearing officer and order that the additional evidence be taken with respect to our request, having our request specifically to Mr. Goodwin fulfilled as it was requested, as written, the name, by date, by search terms, both with respect to his Morgan Stanley account and with respect to his personal email. That should be done not by Mr. Goodwin or Ms. Pitt, who is the town's only representative, but by a third party, because we do feel that there is a substantial amount of public communication that is on these various systems. If the third party is a true third party, if it is someone you know, if the town attorney's office has a IT person, that's acceptable. We just feel very strongly that the in order for the search to be done correctly and in accordance with the order, that it be done by someone independent of the respondents in this matter. And so that's the scope of the request. I'm happy to answer any questions, but that would be the requested relief that we would like from the commission that's now outlined in the hearing officer's decision.
Thank you. Counsel?
Just thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sure. Nicholas Bamonte, again, on behalf of the respondents. Good afternoon, again, commissioners. I'm going to try not to get into the weeds on this one, but certainly I'm happy to answer any more nuanced questions that you may have. But I'll lead off and just say I think it's fair to say that anyone who looks at the five separate requests that are the subject of these appeals would pretty quickly agree that these requests were anything but simple. And as a result, the chronology of the town's actions in response to these requests was also quite complex. As we saw, and as Attorney Harmon saw, through the evidence and testimony during two full afternoons of hearings on these appeals. We, of course, move for the adoption of the proposed final decision, which we believe correctly finds that the respondents promptly provided the records on a rolling basis, and that's an important consideration here, and ultimately withheld nothing. These requests in particular were numerous, multifaceted. They were submitted to three different town departments and sought communications from five different town officials, some of whom have been out of town government for years and who are now in their 80s or 90s. Not only that, the requests were very broad in substance and scope. They sought records using as many as nine different search terms that were sent or received over the course of up to 7 years, reaching back as far as 2007. The point is, these requests were not simple, and the total number of responsive records reached into the thousands. It took us a little bit of time to put all the pieces together. But we started, and as the evidence showed, within 1 day of the requests. Our project coordinator, Mary Margaret Pitt, coordinated a group effort to start producing the responsive records on a rolling basis, starting with pretty much the simplest records we could produce that were going to be the quickest to produce, and eventually getting to the more complicated. We believe Attorney Harmon gets all the dates right in the proposed final decision, but to quickly recap, the first request, we provided a complete production less than 2 weeks after the request. The second, complete production less than 1 month after the requests. The third request, which involved records of Eugene Grzelecki, who's 82 years old, complete production 4 months after the requests. The fourth request, involving records of Mr. Papp, 91 years old, completed production within 5 months of the requests. And the final request, involving Mr. Goodwin, completed within 6 months of the request, including over 1,300 emails, as Attorney Suchins stated, from Mr. Goodwin's employer-issued email accounts after working at length with the employer's IT department. Again, all of these with rolling productions in the interim, and under the circumstances, these were prompt disclosures. Moving on quickly, it bears mentioning that the complainants called zero witnesses in 2 days' worth of hearings, nor did they admit any evidence even remotely substantiating their claim that additional responsive records exist. Because the fact of the matter is, they don't exist. The respondents all testified that to their knowledge and belief, they have provided all responsive records. And really, any claim otherwise is based purely on speculation. It's not supported in the record and, quite frankly, cannot sustain the complainant's burden in these two appeals. I understand that the complainants are not pleased with the neighboring development that the respondents here had approved at some point in the past in their official capacities, but that does not justify abusing and overextending the rights that are granted to the public under the Act. So ultimately, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, we believe that the proposed final decision correctly recites the facts, it correctly applies the law, and it correctly dismisses these appeal, and we would urge for adoption.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions? No questions? I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, do you want me to move each docket separately or together? I think we voted to consolidate. So then, Mr. Chairman, I will move that we...
Good question. Just ask Attorney Murphy. Attorney Murphy, how would you like us to rule on these matters?
I think you can do it either way, but for brevity, perhaps put them together.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, Attorney right, Streeter, go ahead.
Commissioner Streeter, yes. Mr. Chairman, I move that we... I'm not an attorney. I will move that we move for adoption the amended and consolidated dockets FIC 2019-0551 and 2019-0671 for adoption.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
Commissioner Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Attorney Sitchins. Thank you, Attorney Bamonte.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Moving along now. We have docket number FIC 2020-0309, Meredith Braxton versus Chief Police Department, Town of Greenwich, Police Department, Town of Greenwich, and Town of Greenwich. Are you there, Ms. Braxton?
I am, Mr. Chairman.
And
so this is Meredith Braxton.
Hold on one second. Counsel, are you there?
Yes, this is Abby Wadler. I'm here.
It's Wadler, correct?
Wadler, yes.
Wadler, thank you. All right. So would you like to begin? Attorney Wadler.
Are you asking? Yes. Oh,
yes.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Would you like to begin?
I should begin. Were you going to say something, Attorney Braxton? No, I'll reserve my time to respond to the town's objections.
Okay. Thank you. This is Abby Wadler, Assistant Town Attorney for the Town of Greenwich, representing the respondents. There are three parts to the hearing officer's suggested decision, which I'd like to address briefly. As the commissioner sets forth in her decision, NextGen is a company that contracts with the Greenwich Police Department to maintain its police reports through a database management system. In this case, the complainant's client visited NextGen's office in East Haven sometime in the summer of 2019 and was given information which is purported to be data commands to access additions and deletions to drafts of police reports. the parties acknowledge that these commands should produce preliminary drafts of final police reports. Respondent offered testimony through, there were two officers offering testimony. One was Deputy Chief Robert Berry, and Deputy Chief Berry testified that based on the representations of NextGen, who also testified through their witness, even the Greenwich Police Department could not access these drafts. The complainant presented the data commands to the Greenwich Police Department as part of an FOI request and asserted that these commands should be run through the Greenwich Police Department system. First and most importantly, these commands would produce preliminary drafts. Determining what is inserted, changed, or deleted, which was the request in the FOI request, is another way of looking at prior versions of the report. Deputy Chief Berry testified that there is a public interest in withholding preliminary drafts of police reports, which outweighs the public interest in disclosure under 1-210B1. He expressed that there was an interest in protecting the process by which the investigation is conducted. For the Greenwich Police to disclose what information it finds correct and what it finds relevant by disclosing a preliminary draft of a final report would be detrimental to the Greenwich Police Department's process of investigation. Deputy Chief Berry testified that early versions of reports are essentially notes, which are amended during the investigative process. The final signed version of the report is the operative document and the only document available to the Greenwich Police Department, including the Chief of Police. As Deputy Chief Berry testified, when the Greenwich Police Department inquired of NextGen as to whether it could get the report, it was told by NextGen that it could not or there would be legal ramifications. The second point that I'd like to address is that the police department has concerns about running these commands through the system. The department is invoking the exemption under 1-210B20 in that the disclosure is not required of records, of standards, procedures, processes, software, and codes not otherwise available to the public. The disclosure, which would compromise the security or integrity of the information technology system. Now, paragraph 5 of the proposed final decision finds that the records are not standards, procedures, processes, software, and codes, but rather are records that may be produced upon the execution of certain database commands. However, based on the testimony of complainant's witness, Lee Wazinski from NextGen, the proposed final decision also acknowledges in paragraph 13 that, quote, it is found that the electronic management system and software used by the respondents is provided by NextGen. It's specifically this software which the Greenwich Police Department wants to protect. If any member of the public is able to compel the police department to run a system of commands through its computer system, it's a threat to the system and the software in that system. The final point is that there is reference in the decision in paragraph 24 that the subject of this search would also be relevant to an ongoing police investigation and prospective law enforcement action. Paragraph 4 of the proposed final decision references an investigation of an alleged sexual assault, which is the litigation in which the complainant is interested. However, this is not the investigation or prospective law enforcement action about which Deputy Chief Berry testified. The initial FOI request was received by an administrator who was not a police officer. When the request came to the attention of Deputy Chief Berry in the spring of 2021, he was concerned about how these commands got disclosed. Deputy Chief Berry testified that he had initiated an investigation into the circumstances under which the NextGen data commands were given to the complainant's client, and he was concerned it was a potential data breach. This is the ongoing investigation which Deputy Chief testified about, not the alleged sexual assault, which is the subject of the ongoing litigation. My understanding this morning, though, is that the investigation is about to be closed. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Attorney Braxton?
Yes, thank you. This is Meredith Braxton. Hard to say where to begin with this. The commands for the, they're called SQL commands, that were asked to be run through the system, through the Greenwich Police Department system. I mean, honestly, Attorney Wadler's continued insistence on suggesting that somehow they were nefariously obtained really borders on being untruthful to this tribunal. There's underlying litigation in which there was a subpoena to NextGen, and what was produced as a consequence of that subpoena were these SQL commands. Ms. Wadler, in a letter dated June 16, 2020, which is Exhibit B in this matter, acknowledged that, where she said, quote, "I also note that the same request was made in plaintiff's March 9, 2020, fourth request for production of documents in which to which defendants have a pending objection." So those commands were attached to a document request that was made in this underlying litigation. So she knows exactly, and the police department knows exactly where these SQL commands came from. Lee Wazinski, the chief technology officer of NextGen, testified that he wrote those commands because his lawyer asked him to elicit the information that the subpoena was calling for. What became clear during this hearing is that those commands were not shown to either of the witnesses from the Greenwich Police Department who testified until they were preparing for hearing. So all of the responses to the complainant's requests were made without benefit of anyone from the Greenwich Police Department having set eyes on this set of commands, nor did anyone from the Greenwich Police Department ever reach out to NextGen and say, look at these commands. Where did they come from? Are these going to damage our system? Mr. Wazinski testified very clearly that, you know, his firm could run those commands with if they were given access to the Greenwich Police Department's database, and that it would elicit a list, a rich text format list, of the changes that were made to case reports and to arrest warrant applications for a particular matter. Mr. Wazinski also testified that this system is the system of record for public safety entities in Connecticut, and that it is designed to gather for investigators to put in real-time information about everything that they're finding out in the investigation. Assistant State's Attorney Capozzi, who is a prosecutor, testified that arrest warrant applications are supposed to have all of the information that the police gathered in those applications. There is nothing about these documents that indicates they're any kind, that they're any kind of preliminary draft or note. You know, the Wilson case is clear that in order to be a draft, it has to be something that's pre-decisional, that's part of a back and forth about, you know, decisions about policy or, you know, for a government entity. And that's not what these are. And response did not present any evidence showing that they were. They are not drafts. And as far as the public interest in withholding them is concerned, I don't know where Attorney Wadler position she just gave to you, because Officer Berry did not testify to any of those things. The only thing he testified to when it came to interest was that it was against an unspecified Greenwich Police Department policy run those commands. He did not say that it would, you know, reveal anything about the process by which investigations are done. He didn't say it would be detrimental to an investigation. And, you know, aside from that, the investigation is over, so I don't know how it would be detrimental to it. And, you know, he did not say anything about why, how, you know, the fact that somebody changed something in that record would be in the public interest or not. He did not testify to that at all. And she also said that when they inquired of NextGen of whether they could get the documents we were asking for, they said that NextGen said that they could not. They were calling the help desk, and Mr. Wozinski testified that the help desk wouldn't know how to get the changes to the database. You know, that would be something that would have to be kicked up to the chief technology officer. So they did not reach out to NextGen, as I said, with those actual commands and say, can these be done? They just asked if prior versions. They basically asked NextGen if prior drafts could be produced, and NextGen said no. Now, with respect to the codes, you know, we are not asking for codes. We already have them, obviously. So that exemption just does not even apply. And I also think Attorney Wadler was saying that they want to protect the software provided by NextGen and that it threatens the system. There was absolutely no testimony to that effect. Lee Wozinski, the chief technology officer of NextGen, who wrote those commands, said they simply result in text format files that shows you the changes made to that database. That does not lead to threatening the system in any way. And the so-called police investigation to which this refers to, the records that we're looking for have only to do with a sexual assault investigation that was closed in 2017. It does not relate to anything else. The codes that we have, like I said, came from NextGen, and the fact that they started an investigation either indicates that they really did not understand what they were doing or they were being retaliatory to my clients for, you know, pursuing getting these documents. So, I mean, as I said, the fuss that Attorney Wadler is making over the genesis of those commands, I think, could even merit a referral to the statewide grievance committee for being untruthful to this tribunal. And one last thing, just the codes that Mr. Wozinski produced, he said that they are generic, so they could be run on any police department's database. And if you specify the case number that you want it run for, it will produce that rich text format file showing additions and deletions in any police department's database. So I urge adoption of the hearing officer's report. I believe that she was spot on in reciting the evidence that was presented to her and in her analysis of the law. Thank you.
Do any of the commissioners have any questions? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
This is Commissioner Chavez. I'll move to adopt the hearing officer's report.
Thank you.
Commissioner Winkler, I'll second that. Commissioner Winkler, I'll second that.
Thank you. Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing
none. Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Chavez. I just want to note that I think that Attorney Ross's report is excellent and comprehensive and really addresses all of the arguments made by counsel, by Attorney Wadler.
Okay. Anything further? Anything further from any of the commissioners? All right. Motion's been made and seconded. No more discussion. I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuseschi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
Commissioner Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners.
Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0464, Michael Bracken, Jr. versus Christopher Kervick, First Selectman, Town of Windsor Locks, Board of Selectmen, Town of Windsor Locks, and Town of Windsor Locks. Are you there, Mr. Bracken?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Thank you. And then, counsel, please identify yourself.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Attorney Carl Landolina, representing the respondents.
Okay, would you like to begin, Attorney Landolina?
Actually, no. I'm urging the adoption of the, even though it's not favorable to my clients, urging the adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Okay, thank you. All right. Mr. Bracken, would you like to say anything?
Yes, sir, I would. Mr. Chairman, I brought a complaint forward against the First Selectman, who I have brought several complaints against in the past. He has a history of withholding information, and unfortunately, the only way that we have in order to obtain that information is to bring him before the Freedom of Information Commission. Normally, he doesn't appear before the Freedom of Information Commission, and he only sends the town attorney. This time here, I informed the town attorney that I was going to insist that the First Selectman appear, and he did. When we appeared at the hearing, I had a complaint that was filed with the Freedom of Information Commission, which had 18 separate issues. And at the time, as we were beginning the hearing, the hearing officer, Attorney Ross, began to speak, at which time Attorney Landolina jumped in, and I believe that he was attempting to head me off before I was able to present my evidence. And he said that on behalf of the town of Windsor Locks, he was willing to stipulate that all of my evidence was factual and that there was no need to allow me to bring my documents into evidence, that the town was going to stipulate to all of them. And at that point, Attorney Ross turned around and said that there was no need for that because she was going to restrict me to two issues. And I thought that that was unfair because I had the evidence. Mr. Kervick had denied me 18 individual documents, and I had the proof. And what I ended up doing is I had filed an FOI request for documentation against the town of Windsor Locks, which is a municipal agency, Mr. Kervick, a First Selectman, a town official, and I had requested documentation on documents that were public record, and he refused to give them to me. I had run across him in another meeting, and I asked him if he was going to provide them to me, and he basically ignored me. at which time I was forced to file a Freedom of Information request. It was more than a year that had gone by, and what Mr. Kervik didn't know is that I had a plan in place, because the information that I was seeking involved the state of Connecticut as well. And what I did is I submitted a Freedom of Information request to the state of Connecticut Department of Transportation, and I received the information that I was looking for through the state of Connecticut Department of Transportation. And I end up at the hearing, and during the hearing, Mr. Kervik attempted to say that his not providing the documentation was my fault. And at that point, Attorney Ross caught him, because what he was trying to do is he was trying to use one of the other cases that I had filed against him, or complaints, in order to justify what had occurred. And Attorney Ross caught it. And she advised him that he was talking about a different incident. And at that time, Attorney Landolina jumped in and said, yeah, you're confused. You're talking about the wrong incident. But what ended up happening is, during the hearing, one of the things that I thought was improper is Attorney Ross turned around and asked me why it was that I requested the Freedom of Information request that I requested. And I thought that she had overstepped her bounds, because according to the Freedom of Information Act, I'm not required to give a public agency a reason for a request that's legitimate, especially when they're a public agency and they're holding public documents. And in this case, I was trying to prove, and I was able to prove, that our first selectman had gone and he had committed town funds inappropriately to the purchase of a traffic light. And although Attorney Ross ruled in my favor on the complaint, in my complaint to the Freedom of Information, I had requested civil penalties be levied against the town of Windsor Locks and First Selectman Christopher Kervik. And the reason being is that, as I had said, I have had the First Selectman to the Freedom of Information numerous times, every single time winning. And one of those times that I had him there on an audio tape, and with you, sir, as the chairman, I had the full Freedom of Information Commission tell Mr. Kervik that the next time that I had him at your commission, that he was going to be fined with civil penalties. And for some reason, the written decision didn't match what was said verbally. And I called the Freedom of Information. I spoke to the recording secretary. She compared the audio tape with what was written, and she confirmed that they didn't match. I spoke to Thomas Hennick. He suggested sending you, sir, a letter, and I did send you a letter informing you that the written opinion or the written release didn't match what had been ruled upon by the commission, and I never got a response. But the thing is that just this week, I got a call from Attorney Landolina asking me why I wanted former first selectman, because he didn't win the election this time, why I wanted him fined. And he was saying that the fine was going to go against the town. But the thing is that Attorney Landolina has been the attorney for the town of Windsor Locks for the last 4 years that I can think of. And he's been side by side with the first selectman and he has had the opportunity to turn around and coach the first selectman and say, you're violating the first the Freedom of Information Act. You can't do this. But he hasn't. And if you look at the record, the first selectman has been in front of the Freedom of Information so many times to turn around and say that and what was given to him for a penalty is that they turned around and Attorney Ross turned around and said that they were going to order the town to provide me a copy of all the documents that he didn't give me for over a year that I already had. They were provided to me by the State of Connecticut Department of Transportation. And then she was going to order him to follow the Freedom of Information Act, the same order that it's been given to him over and over and over again with no penalty. It's like a waste of our time. Something needed to be done, and that's why I'm here. He needs to be given a fine. And Attorney Landolina saying that the town's going to end up footing the bill, well, the town has the right to say that we're not going to indemnify you. You're going to pay that fine out of your own pocket. And that's why I'm here. I won the decision, but like I said, I feel cheated. I had 18 documents that I proved beyond a reasonable doubt where I had the town attorney saying that he was going to stipulate that I was correct. I had the proof, but yet I got nothing in return.
Okay. Thank you. Attorney Murphy?
Landolina.
No, Attorney Murphy?
Yes, Commissioner.
I don't recall receiving a letter from this gentleman. Did we receive a letter from him requesting that we modify a decision?
Not that I can think of at this moment. We can, you know, at some point look into that, but it is not ringing any bell with me at the moment.
Okay. All right. And then is the hearing officer there, please?
I believe she is. I'm here. Sorry, it just takes me a minute to get off mute and get on camera. Hello.
I understand. Do you want to just comment on what Mr. Bracken said?
I was actually had a difficult time really understanding all of what he said. It sounds like, although the decision is in his favor, he feels there should be a civil penalty imposed. In my opinion, it didn't rise to the level of the imposition of a civil penalty. I'm not quite sure what else I can say. I don't know what he's talking about when he's talking about this letter. I thought he was talking about having sent a letter in connection with some other matter. So I'm sorry. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions or comments?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Yeah, Commissioner Winkler, I would like to know what it does take to rise to have us cause a civil penalty to occur. Because I have been an advocate of that for quite some time.
Are you asking, you're asking the hearing officer?
Yes.
Hi, Commissioner.
Kathleen.
That is absolutely a very legitimate and good question. And this is just my opinion. And again, others may feel differently, but to just give you an idea of the cases that we see, I would say that if there's a public agency that has a lot of complaints filed against it, And that public agency is repeatedly coming before the commission and having found to be violating the act. And it's really, it's egregious. You know, they'll get a request and they will literally not respond to it for a year. And they just sit on it. And then they come to the hearing and say, oh, we didn't violate the FOI Act. And we find violations. It's sort of like this very egregious, frequent conduct of pattern of violating the FOI Act. I think in that case, at least for me, I'd be much more inclined to recommend to the commission that that you impose a civil penalty. But in this particular case, I just didn't see that kind of pattern of egregious conduct.
Mr. Chairman, may I speak?
No, hold on. Go ahead, Commissioner Winkler.
Even though Mr. Braxton had mentioned that we, as a commission, had made the comment, if the mayor had come before us again, that he would be fined and charged a civil penalty if it continued.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I heard him say that.
Yes,
and
Commissioner.
I kind of vaguely remember that occurring.
Yeah, he certainly did say that today. I don't recall whether he said it at the hearing or not, or whether he provided me with the docket number of that case. So I apologize. I don't remember.
Well, I thank you for your comments, Attorney Ross. Thank mm-hmm. you.
And again, I just want to reiterate, this is the commission's decision. What I offer you is just simply my opinion about whether a civil penalty is warranted. And that's coming, you know, from my position as hearing officer. I hear hundreds of cases and I'm, you know, seeing lots of different scenarios. And I can tell you that there are absolutely scenarios where I think that a civil penalty would be warranted. I just didn't see it in this case. But again, it is your decision.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, may I speak?
One second. Do any of the other commissioners have anything to say?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I don't feel this case it warrants a civil penalty. I agree with the hearing officer.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Any of the other commissioners?
Mr. Chairman, it's Colleen Murphy, not a commissioner. If I could just speak to that civil penalty issue just for a moment, just to state that the legal standard is that in order for us to impose a civil penalty, and in this case, the hearing officer declined to consider it because I believe, as she stated, she didn't feel that, you know, the factors at play warranted her consideration of the imposition of a civil penalty. But were we to consider it, the standard in the statute is that the violation is without reasonable grounds, which is a fairly high standard. That's the legal standard. So were we to decide to consider the imposition, we would necessarily need to explore that, whether this particular violation was without reasonable grounds. I mean, I think what Attorney Ross is saying kind of goes to that, but just wanted to lay that out for the commissioners who are interested in it, that that's the legal basis upon which we would analyze it if we decided to consider it.
Thank you. Any other commissioners have anything to say?
This is Commissioner Fusashi. I would be very much helped in, I feel that I understand a hearing officer Ross's position and I understand it and support it. But like Commissioner Winkler, I've been focused on, to some degree, on whether we should consider this kind of imposition of civil fine, civil more. And I would be very helped if we as commissioners could receive a short legal analysis of the statute, the history, and any decisions that exist in Connecticut law that might guide us and guide the hearing officers, but might help guide us as we consider these issues in the future.
Thank you. Any other commissioners wish to comment? All right. Mr. Bracken, you wanted to say something?
Yes, sir. As far as the letter that I sent you, if you check with your recording secretary, I had a long conversation with her because she played the audio CD and she looked at the written document that you put out on the decision at the same time while I was talking with her, and she agreed with me that the decision didn't match what was said audibly. And she told me to call Tom Hennick, and I did. I called Tom Hennick, and I was advised by Tom Hennick to send you a letter in writing. I have a copy of that letter I can send you. And at the same time, I had two hearings that day. As well as beating the first selectman, I had a complaint against the first the police chief. And at the same time, that same day, the hearing officers meeting for the police chief was modified by a woman that was on the board, a woman, and I don't remember what the gentleman's name was. They modified the hearing officers report, and they made it mandatory that the police department and anyone from the rank of sergeant and above to the FOI for training, and the police department still hasn't complied. And that was a 2017 case. So the thing is that they're not complying. And that's why I said when it comes down to Commissioner Ross saying, and we're going to make sure that the town of Windsor Locks complies, they're not. And that's why I say when you file a complaint with the FOI and we see that the commissioner or the chair or the hearing officer puts in there that we're going to make the town of Windsor Locks or whoever it is comply with the FOI, it's a joke because they don't. And that's why, like the correction the gentleman from corrections there had asked, when he had asked for a civil penalty, that's why I asked for a civil penalty. And just as an example now, and I don't know if this is true or not, I was told that the FOI can administer up to $1,000 fine. And I know that you wouldn't do that on a first offense. However, in a situation like this, let's say that you gave out a $300 or a $500 fine. How much did it cost for Attorney Landolina to be sitting there for 2 hours waiting for our time to be heard? If they were given a civil penalty of $300, isn't it more likely that the town would have paid the $300 and this case would have been over? You would have never heard from me. So when it comes down to a civil penalty, the civil penalty is teaching them that they can't do what they're doing and that they have to follow the FOI laws, because next time, this time it's 300, next time it's 500, next time it could be worse. But the thing is that if there's not going to be any type of a penalty for the person that's violating the FOI Act, then where does the person have for recourse who's being violated, whose rights are being violated? And I heard Attorney Ross turn around and say, well, if it's something egregious as like a case that's a year old, well, she mustn't have heard me say that my case was over a year old. Have her look at the dates on my complaint. I waited for over a year for my case to go. And it wasn't until 3 days before my hearing date that Attorney Landolina attempted to send me the documents that I allegedly had been sent by him. And when he testified at the hearing that he sent me the documents, we found out after the hearing that he sent them to the wrong person. He had the wrong email address. So although he testified that he sent them to me by email, He didn't send them to me. He sent somebody else got them because he didn't send them to me. And if you ask him now, he'll tell you he didn't send them to me because he'll admit that he sent them to the wrong email address.
Thank you. Do any of the other commissioners have any comments?
Yes, this is Commissioner Hankins.
Yes, Commissioner Hankins.
Yeah, thank you. I'm looking at paragraph 11, and, you know, it states, you know, that waiting 10 months, you know, the attorney for the complainant, I mean, for the respondent, had the documents for 10 months, and then sent them supposedly to the complainant. The complainant never received them, and you know there's no evidence that the complainant actually did get them. And from what the complainant is saying now, also, and there's no explanation why it took 10 months, and you know there was this 13 month gap, you know, from September 13th, 2020 to when the hearing was, a long time, you know, and I know. You know, that the imposition of civil penalties is sparingly used. But, I mean, if we have as a commission, had threatened before that we were going to impose civil penalties, if something like this happened again, I mean, I think this is kind of a something like this has happened. And, you know, maybe not here for the civil penalties, but I think very much in the future, if something happens, I think... you know, civil penalties should be imposed. And, you know, I do rely on what the hearing officers feel for it, too, because I wasn't there. You know, I wasn't the hearing officer for this. So, I mean, I appreciate what the hearing officer is saying, too, for not imposing civil penalties. But, I mean, it's very close.
Hold on, the commissioners have the floor.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Do any of the other commissioners have anything?
Commissioner Winkler. I would just like to say that we often give people a slap on the wrist. And I think in many circumstances, or a number of circumstances, that we could impose civil penalties. And I really think we should start looking at that more. And maybe we wouldn't be having the number of cases that come before the commission that we have. Thank you.
Do you wish to amend this, the hearing officer's decision, and add a civil penalty?
Not at this time.
Okay. Do any of the other hearing officers wish to be heard?
May I be heard, Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I'll move adoption of the hearing officer's report. I think we've heard enough from the complainant.
I think this is Attorney Landolina, isn't it?
Oh, if it's Attorney Landolina, then I'll be on.
Yeah, it was your...
Do you withdraw that motion? Mr. Streeter, do you withdraw that motion so Attorney Landolina...
No, I'm not withdrawing my motion. You can still have comments afterwards.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Commissioner Winkler, I'll second that.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. Is there a discussion?
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Chavez. I was trying to get off mute before the... the motion was made, but I did hear reference to the town not doing the training that had previously been ordered, and I wonder if Attorney Landolino could speak to that.
Attorney Landolino?
My understanding is what Mr. Bracken just informed you is that members of the police department were ordered to do some training. I don't believe that was during my tenure as town attorney, so I have no knowledge of that, whether it was ordered or whether it was completed.
2017.
Anything further, Attorney Linda Lane, you wanted to say something?
Well, I was just going to make note for the record that paragraph 2 states that Mr. Bracken's request went out on September 13th, 2020. In paragraph 10, there was in the report indicates that there was, I'll use my word, uncontroverted testimony by the first selectman that he responded by sending documents to me on December 7th, 2020. So it wasn't a year between the time of the request and the time he responded by sending me the documents. I assume his assumption was that I would go through them and then send them on. Obviously, that did not occur. And the other thing I would say is that the named respondent, Mr. Kervik, is no longer in office. He's been voted out of office by the voters of the town. So that's all I had to report. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Can I say one last thing, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
When we're talking, I just heard Mr. Landel, or Attorney Landolina, excuse me, Carl, but I just heard Attorney Landolina talk about the 10 months. During the testimony, First Selectman Kervik talked about receiving the FOI request and that it sat before he did anything for a while, and then he started to look for it. It was over a year before I got any type of acknowledgement whatsoever. And actually, it wasn't even an acknowledgement. I actually went in to Attorney Landolina's office and I dropped something off at his office. And that's when he asked me if I had received the documents that he sent me. And I said to him, I said, what are you talking about? I never got anything from him. And that's when it was discovered that he sent. And actually, it was actually the following day. He had told me that he sent the documents to me by email. And when I went home, I discovered that I didn't get anything. And when I called and checked with him the following day, that's when he discovered that he sent it to the wrong email address. So it was more than a year. But as far as Mr. Kervik, if you check the record, you'll see that I took him to the FOI numerous times, and I'm not the only one. And because of the complaint, I filed a written complaint with the new Board of Selectmen, and they've started an investigation, and there's going to be a lot more FOIs coming your way because they've discovered quite a bit of activity on Mr. Kervik's part that's questionable. Let's put it that way, where they've hired an outside, from what I was told, they've hired an outside person to look into. So
thank you.
You'll be seeing Mr. Kervik, or requests for Mr. Kervik, and who knows what's going on, but I knew that something was wrong, and that's why I have been sending the FOIs. And just for my knowledge, am I correct in assuming that I didn't have to have a reason for an FOI request? Is that correct?
Attorney Murphy?
Yes, that's generally the case.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further comments from any of the commissioners? All right. So the motion's been made and seconded. We're finished with discussion. All in favor, please say aye. I'll call a roll. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeschi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
Commissioner Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you both very much. I appreciate your time and your patience here.
Sir, would you like me to send you a copy of that letter that I was talking about?
You can if you would. You might send it to the commission, not to me, if you'd like, and then it would be part of the record. But you can make it part of your record if you have to appear before the commission again, and that would be wise.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate your time here today.
Thank you to the commission.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0030, Stephen Goodetti versus Superintendent of Schools, East Hartford Public Schools, and East Hartford Public Schools. Are you there, Mr. Goodetti? Is anyone
here? Mr. Chairman, this is Michael Carey from Sussman Shapiro in London. We represent the respondents.
Do you know whether Mr. Goodetti is going to be here?
I have no idea.
Mr. Chairman, it's Colleen Murphy. We did try to reach him a number of times, and he did not respond to us.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Hi, this is Danielle McGee, the hearing officer. I just wanted to remind you, I did have an amendment I wanted to propose.
Oh, yes. Okay, go ahead.
So the amendment, it's minor. It's to paragraph 5. The language I intended to cite to you from the statute is as it existed at the time of the request. So the word videotaped and the comma that follows should not be included in that paragraph. So my recommendation or my proposed amendment would be to remove that word videotaped in that comma from that paragraph.
Okay. Do I hear a motion regarding the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I will move that we amend paragraph 5 for the request of the hearing officer to remove the word videotape in the comma thereafter.
Just for the record, Mr. Chairman, I don't object.
Okay. Is there a second?
Yes, Commissioner Winkler seconded it.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor of the amendment. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeci?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
Commissioner Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. The amendment passes unanimously. I'd entertain a motion on the matter unless you want to be heard, Attorney Carey?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. At the request of the respondent, I move adoption of the amended hearing officer's report for adoption.
Commissioner Winkler, second.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeci?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
Commissioner Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Attorney Carey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the board, commission.
Thank you. So that's the end of the matters on the docket. Colleen?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, just briefly go through the other items on the agenda. Nothing under pending appeals at this point in time, under the executive director's report, status of operations during the pandemic. Just to let you know, we're using that virtual FTR software now. We're using it to record this proceeding, and we're finding that the recording is actually a bit clearer than our old system, so that's pretty good. We're really starting to work on our backlog as best as we can, and I think that virtual system will really help us with that. I think you'll notice that our commission meetings will be I don't know if they'll be a bit longer, but the docket will be longer. As you noticed today, we had 14 or 15 cases on our agenda, so we may be going back to more days like that, which is a good thing because we're getting to our decisions. Other than that, I don't have any other update under staff reports. I did send the commissioners an email, and Matt sent an email to all of the staff just to advise you that Matt Reed has told us that he will be leaving the commission and he'll be taking on another opportunity at another state agency. We will have him for one more commission meeting, so I'm hoping he'll still be our gatekeeper, at least in part, for that meeting. But we're looking for...
for others to take hold of the reins there. And so at our next meeting, we'll have a chance to say farewell to Matt. We'll get him one more time.
That's great. Thank you.
And let's see, under legislative report, I think we'll hold on that. At the next meeting, we will probably have something for the commission, a couple of recommendations, perhaps for not really substantive changes to the act, but some clarifying provisions. But we're about to convene some staff meetings about what we'd like to recommend to you. So we'll hold on that till the next meeting, and the session will be starting soon thereafter in February. So that's all I have right now.
Great. So are we ready to adjourn?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I want to just wish everybody a happy new year, and I will move we adjourn.
Thank you.
Commissioner Winkler, second.
Thank you. All those in favor, I'll take a roll call. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuseschi?
Yes, both a happy new year and a journey.
I agree. Commissioner Hankin?
Happy and healthy.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler? Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. And happy new year to everyone. Thank you very much. Great job.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Happy New Year.